Tech Chat number 40 tonight is items online. We have 40 links up here tonight, such things as online safety, some tips you can use, some online websites that have been recommended by other users, first timers, some tips for folks who have never shopped before. We'll give you some ideas of how to proceed, websites where you can learn more about consumer rights and advocacy and things of that sort. We'll talk about coupon codes and some places where you might be able to find those. We'll talk about tracking your packages. We'll show you one very easy way, regardless of whether your packages are coming from UPS, FedEx, or some other entity. We'll talk briefly about using PayPal and why a lot of folks use that tool. Resolving disputes, contacting the company directly, or making sure before you even make your purchase that you can contact that company directly. I'm going to show what is the fourth link here. I have most of these links on the original page, but there's a few that I didn't include. This was our second Tech Chat, and this we did on November 26th of 2008. I think we actually recorded it maybe on the 22nd. And we had a number of users mention some of their favorite websites. There's a few on this page that I didn't include, like the link that Mike Calvo provided. If you're interested in a Tassimo coffee maker, we sold quite a few of those. So if you like some great coffee in just a few seconds and no mess. Also, there's a couple links here. Symbian phones, if you're interested in those. I didn't include these on the original page. I think a lot of folks now have gone the iPhone route. All those links are here on link number 4, so we'll go back to our original page here. Now, what I did here below this is gave some tips for online shopping, and I'll go through some of these. I think they're very important. If you never shopped before, maybe you have, and these I think will be very, very helpful to you. One is to know your merchant. By that meaning, if you've never shopped online before, or even if you have, you really need to be careful when you're going into new companies that you've never heard of before. So if you've never shopped before, I would say start with names you know. You know, whether it be Amazon or Walmart or something, company that you know, and you know they obviously have a track record. You can certainly do an online search for complaints. Some folks use the Better Business Bureau. That's just one of many resources, but also just by putting in the company name and complaints or even searching the product to find out, you know, does it have a high defect rate? What are people's thoughts about the product? Now, just because someone doesn't like it, you very well may like it. It may be a great product for you. So those are all things to keep in mind. Starting out, getting recommendations from family members and friends. If you've never shopped online before, go to a website, a site that you know. Do a search for the product that you're interested in. Read through the results. If you're happy with the price or if you have partial vision, sometimes there's images, you can click on to get more information. That is very helpful. You know, if you're okay with the price, then you can click and add to the cart. If there's other items, you can add those as well or just go to the checkout. The price itself, don't let that mislead you because there's also shipping charges. And some companies offer a very low price to entice you and then have much greater shipping charges to get you hooked on it. So you always want to look through the final charges. So pay attention to that as you click the next and put in your information. And you may have to put in your credit card information, but you should get that confirmation page. It'll tell you what your shipping is going to be, or some have you enter your zip code first. And then it tells you what your shipping is going to be so that you can keep all of that in mind. And while not the most exciting thing to do, I would always recommend reading the what's called TOS, or Terms of Service, because some companies could enter you into some kind of buying club or some kind of rewards program, and you end up with some additional charges that you didn't anticipate. So it's worth it to read the Terms of Service and or privacy policy, meaning what is this company going to do with your information? Are they going to sell it to any third parties? Are they going to give out your email address, which could open you up to getting a lot of unsolicited emails? Or maybe the company itself decides, we're going to email you every Monday morning, and during the Christmas holidays, we're going to email you with something every day because we have this information, and that may be annoying to you. So again, not the most exciting thing to do, but if you're certainly concerned about privacy and security, read the Terms of Service and or privacy policy. Guard your password. And a couple things there, you never want to give out your password over the phone if someone says, hey, this is company X, got an issue here, I just need your password to confirm it. And more importantly, I knew someone that I thought knew better, but never, ever send out your passwords and or social security numbers or credit card numbers via email. Companies will send you a password how to get onto their website via email, but you never want to share this to some entity asking you, or maybe a pop-up page says, oops, there's been an issue here, I need your password, or you get an email. I got another one today claiming to be Facebook, saying your password has been changed, and it's an attachment. I'm like, no, it doesn't work that way. They're not going to contact us. The government's not going to contact you. The IRS is not going to say, we got a problem with your account, you owe us money, or hey, we got a big refund for you, click here, or you know, give us your password and we'll get you all taken care of there. The government doesn't use email in that way. They like to use snail mail with letters that can sit in your mailbox with personal information on them, and that's a whole other story, another topic there. But guard that password. Pick something you can remember. It's good these days not to use just numbers and letters. It's too easily broken. So if you're going to use something simple like your dog's name and four or something, then, you know, put a number sign or use an at sign or use some other punctuation in conjunction. Or what I do is even just make like a small sentence. You know, it's maybe 20 characters, but it is a sentence like Mike is a cool guy, and maybe the O's would be zeros or something. Guard that password. Use some good passwords. Use something you can remember. I've read reports about this, how we have to really be concerned, but it's the human factor. We can forget the passwords that we've created. So something that's memorable to you, not just one password for everything you do. Don't write them down on mouse pads that someone can walk up and steal your mouse pad. You have to come up with a system that works for you. And of course, there is software that can encrypt your passwords and remember it for specific websites. So that may be something to look at as well. Using a credit card, when at all possible, as opposed to a debit card, because the credit card is not linked to your account, although you could certainly have a Visa card that is not a true credit card. It could be a debit card. Using that credit card gives you a lot of extra protection. It can protect you up to 1 year. You can dispute problems that you may have had with a particular company. If you don't receive an item, if it's damaged, if it was misrepresented to be something that it's not, maybe it's a different product than what you ordered. Whatever the case may be, a credit card is always, always your best resource, online or not, whether going into a restaurant or some local business. Credit card is always the way to go. Maybe you're on a fixed income like SSI or just get a monthly Social Security check, or maybe you just had bad credit and you can't get one and the best you can do is your debit. If you have to do that, then certainly, either way, your banking account, you want to check it every 2 days, because as long as you catch a false transaction within 48 hours, you're not liable for it. Getting in the habit of checking every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or maybe Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, either maybe early in the morning so that you have time to contact your bank very early on to resolve that is some great stuff you can do. Keep your receipts. If at all possible, print them out. If you have a printer for doing that, now I found out today my printer was printing in yellow and was not even legible. So thank God. What I also do is I save all the emails. I even save the web pages that come up to confirmation, because I have had a couple transactions where I didn't get the follow-up confirmation email. So I save that web page, or at the very least, I paste it into a text editor or something so they have that information, the confirmation number and the amount and so forth. So you want to keep documents. So just keep a folder, whatever you call it, receipts, whatever works for you. So when you get that confirmation page, it says your order has been successful. Here's your transaction ID. Here's the amount you paid and so forth. Keep that information. Keep any emails that come in. Keep any printed paper receipts. Definitely until you get the item. And really, I'd keep it for a while just in case something should go wrong. It's just good to keep your documentation. And if you need to contact the company as well, create a little text file with the date and time you spoke with the company and the person you spoke to. All good safety things that we can do to protect ourselves. Another thing I would do before doing business with someone is to confirm a physical address and a phone number. A lot of people say you should avoid any company that only gives a P.O. box as an address. If there's no physical address, definitely no phone number, that's a sign that someone's either working out of their garage or maybe they've set up a bogus website. And we've seen those. I've seen electronic sites pop up right before the holidays with values that are too good to be true. And it really, the company doesn't exist. And it's strictly for taking credit cards. I saw someone get scammed by what he thought was a great deal on an unlocked iPhone. So, you know, there's all kinds of things out there and there's people waiting to take your money. You must always be on top of things. Watch for certain words that are tips that something's not right, like refurbished or vintage or closeout. Some would argue there's nothing wrong with refurbished items. That means that the item has either been returned, maybe it was defective and repaired, or maybe it's got some cosmetic blemish, or maybe just the person didn't want it and they exercised their right, so now the company has to offer it a little bit of discount because the packaging was opened. So if you're okay with refurbished, that's fine, but remember those words clearly indicate that the item is not new. We sell refurbished MSI Win netbooks, and we make that very clear up front, and they work great. And I would argue with, in the case of electronics, that refurbished is a good thing. You know that someone has looked it over more carefully if they have the same warranties on it. So there's certainly nothing wrong with it, but just remember, if you see the word refurbished, it means it's not brand new out of the box if someone has had it before. Again, is the price too good to be true? If the price sounds too good, it probably is. Again, going back to what I said, before you make your ultimate decision, find out the cost of the shipping and handling. And it doesn't hurt to check out competitors. That is an issue of patience. I guess some people will go to 10 different websites and ultimately end up at the first site they started with. And if you have 2 hours to buy your product, that's great. There are times I have, and there are times I just go with a particular company because I like the company, and even if I'm paying $5 or $10 more, I know I've got good support. I can call up someone at that company. But certainly if the price looks really too good, can't help but wonder if there's not some better prices, then, you know, certainly check out the competitors. We put up a few links where you can do that, like frugal.com, which is an arm of Google. We got Price Grabber, and we got Next Tag, and you'll see those as links up here on this webpage. They're all sites you can use to kind of find out what might be the best price for the products. Be careful, because again, they may be luring you with a great price, and then shipping cranks that up quite a bit. Never pay in cash. It surprises me that people do it, but I've seen it happen. Never email your credit card or social security numbers. I saw someone do it with a company in Russia. Verify the delivery dates and your refund and exchange policies, because the laws are such that a company can set a precedent of all sales final, especially when they're liquidating something that obviously they don't want back. The company has no obligation to give you a refund if you don't like it. There's something called a 3-day cancellation law, and a lot of people don't understand it. It has very, very limited uses. So never buy something on the belief that you can return it. And this is something that's on a state-by-state basis, so there are a few states that have a little stricter laws, but generally don't assume that you're going to get a refund, or they may say, okay, we'll give you an exchange so you can get something else in store for that $79 you spent. But don't assume that you can just get the money back, play with it for a week, and send it back, because those are up to the merchants to make those decisions. Also, the Federal Trade Commission in the USA has a law stating that items must be shipped within 30 days, unless it's otherwise stated. Now, if they tell you in advance, hey, it's going to take 6 to 8 weeks, I've seen that a lot with furniture and certain items, and if they disclose that, then, you know, you got to work with it. But otherwise, if you buy something, it needs to be shipped within 30 days. So important therein to not just to think, well, I'm going to buy something and it's a guarantee that it's going to be here by Christmas. Obviously, a lot of companies want your business and they're going to do that, but there's no guarantees. And so you need to make sure when that delivery date is, if that's going to work for you. A lot of sites don't disclose that fact until after the transaction is complete. Good sites will. Good ones will let you know how many items there are in stock so you know if the item is in. Technically, it is illegal for a company to take your money and then buy the product with your money. I know it happens, but that's technically against the law as well. So important to know that they do have up to 30 days. And I think even there, they can come back within that 30 days and say they need another 30 days as consumers to make sure that we're checking these things out. All of these links here were posted on November 26, 2008. Again, the ones mentioned by two or more people, Amazon.com. Again, one of the more, arguably, there's so much going on there that it could be intimidating. I'm not sure if it's the best site for a first-time buyer, but they do have a really great return policy if you don't like the item, if it's not quite what you thought it was. So that is a good resource to use there. Number six, Overstock.com is just that. Number seven, Newegg.com, a good site for electronics and so forth. So it's one that I've used. So whether you want yourself a laptop or some small electronics. TigerDirect.com, again, one for parts for comparing prices. Number nine is Frugal.com. That's Frooglecom. Of course, I'm mentioning these for the benefit of those listening to the MP3 and not seeing this webpage. Number 10, of course, NextTag.com. That's one T, not Next Tag, but Next Tag, NextTag.com. And PriceGrabber.com, just like it sounds. Now, these are specifically computers, electronics, and tech toys. BlindBargains.com, of course, JJ over there keeping an eye on great deals. Items particularly of interest to the blind and those with low vision. That doesn't mean everything is a blind and low vision product, but things that we like to play around with. Buy.com, this is one I would not recommend for a first-time shopper because they try to get you in this rewards program where you pay so much a month and you can close it out, but you don't see your receipt until you close it out. And I think it's a little deceptive. They deliver the products as claimed, so if you're comfortable with that, great. But I would not recommend it for a first-timer. I don't like that policy. I just don't think it's ethical the way that's set up. 14 is Geeks.com. That's one a few of staff members of Serotech have used. Now, custom-built computers and parts. don't want to buy a computer, it's ready made in the store, and kind of want to build it your own. And these are nice because they have drop down combo boxes. You can choose the parts, like how big of a hard drive, size of the RAM. So you got cmsproducts.com, mwave.com, and the one that I have used in Cleveland, Ohio, magicmicro.com. So if you want to build a computer, maybe you've already got your own copy of Windows and you don't want to pay for another license for it when you already have one, or maybe you want a Linux machine and you want to build it yourself and just want the hardware. I mean, they will sell it, install it for you if you want. These are more for the geeks of us that kind of like to build our own computers and customize them the way we want them. Now, audio gear for musicians and DJs and a lot of other electronics, but Sweetwater.com, located in Fort Wayne, Indiana, one that I use. I think it's a good company, great customer service. Then there's a J&R Music, which is JR.com in New York. Pretty good site. You can go check it out, and they have a lot of good sorting. You know, so if you're interested in a product, it shows you a lot of similar items and so forth. A little annoyed, though. Every weekend, I get a three-day big blowout weekend sale. That's a little annoying to me. I've done transactions with them. On to radios. We have C. Crane. Of course, you probably heard their ads on a lot of radio stations and a lot of folks using them for some of the different products that they make. They're located out in Fortuna, California. Good company. And I think they've had some of their documents in Braille, and they will talk to you on the phone and go through with you and explain the product if you need some information on how to use it. A lot of antennas, AMFM, Bearcat1.com for scanning enthusiasts. Daily special sites. These are sites that focus on offering one item per day, and it's updated at the midnight hour. Now, one that I have used and bought a few things from is Woot.com, W-O-O-T, and that's updated midnight central in Texas. You can even follow them on Twitter, so that way they come up with a special and something you're interested in, you can get a good deal on some stuff. And one that I have not played with called MidnightBox.com. Then we get into fragrances. Three of these Mike Arrigo recommended last year. You have Sentiments, Sentiments.com, FragranceNet.com, and Perfume.com. All of those are places to get perfumes and male colognes. Under books, music, and movies, I mentioned again Amazon.com because it is certainly how they got their start in the business with books, and they expanded from there, now offer about everything. Also for books and movies here, half.com, just like it sounds, H-A-L-F.com. Smaller and personal items, these again come from Susan in Massachusetts. Habband or Habband.com, H-A-B-A-N-D.com. HarrietCarter.com and LLBean.com. Online safety. Put up three links here for those who want to pursue it and go into greater detail. These first two have to do with the company I previously worked for, the organization known as the Tri-State Better Business Bureau, serving parts of Indiana, Illinois, and Kentucky. They put up a blog, bbbconsumereducation.com, BBB as in Better Business Bureau. So there's a lot of good stuff to post there every weekday. And I also found, I didn't know until today, that they're actually on Twitter. And you can follow them there, link number 33, twitter.com/tristatebbb. Then see what the posts are to the blog and read the ones that are of interest to you. At item 34 is a link to the Federal Trade Commission, which pretty much sets all of the U.S. laws. And they have a lot of postings there if they find particular companies for doing things that they shouldn't have. On the next area here is sites for coupons. And there are at least 10 different sites. And you can do that if you just search for coupon code sites. But a lot of times you already have a product in mind, so it's an issue of finding a coupon for that specific product. A lot of times just opening up a second window in Internet Explorer with Control-T and going to Google.com or your favorite search engine or somewhere and just typing in Product X coupon code, finding something that you can put in, oftentimes save yourselves $10, $20. I saved myself 40% on a $179 product by using a coupon code that was actually for a different product, but it worked. Saved, you know, $70. So take the time and do that. But the one thing you do have to be careful of, if you just do a general search, you have to be careful of these sites that are linking you to a product page. It might link you back to that product page. You know, if they offer you a coupon code and you get a discount, that's cool. And even if they make a commission, that's okay if you get a discount as well. But a lot of them just link you to the page and then they get a commission, what's called a click-through. So they're making a little money off it and you still don't have your coupon code. Tracking packages. Good companies will send you an email with either FedEx number or a UPS number. It could even be USPS for the Postal Service, but usually FedEx and UPS, United Parcel Service. Once you have that code, you can go to the respective sites, which we have linked here. But one of the easiest things to do, what I do is I just go to Google and you can put in that number, that tracking number, FedEx or UPS number, into the search box of Google and it'll come back with a link directly to the page. Now, a lot of folks like to go, you can go to FedEx or UPS and you can actually set up email notifications so it will send you emails. I just tend to go to the site, you know, when I know it's coming in and the day of and make sure it's on the truck. And you can go to the respective sites and set up email notification if you like. Another thing to keep in mind with shipping, send it to your workplace. If you're not going to be at home, and either A, make sure that you have a neighbor you can trust or someone to get this item for you. If it's not an issue, send it to your workplace so that somebody can retrieve it. Obviously, if it's a real big item and you have to commute home on the bus or train, that's certainly a concern. But when at all possible, good to send it somewhere where there is a human there. You know, there's issues if it's just dropped on your doorstep and it becomes stolen, or they require a signature and you didn't think that through, and then all of a sudden they can't deliver it and it's sent back to the company. Or even scenarios, I understand, of blind folks who didn't know the package was there, called the company, say, hey, where's my package? And, well, we show it was delivered 3 days ago, and they go outside, and it's maybe a couple feet away from their door, and they end up kicking the item or something. Always good to kind of know where your packages are when they're coming in. Let's talk about resolving disputes, because this is very important. First things we would recommend here, if you need to, if something's just not going right, you haven't received your item, or there's something wrong with it, or just for whatever reason you need to speak with the company, if at all possible, do a phone call. You know, speak with the company and find out what's going on there. You can certainly do email correspondence, but just keep in mind it'll take longer for you to get a response. So, and what a lot of people do before they even buy something from a company is they go to the contact page and say, is there a phone number? Is there a physical address of this company? Is there a good email address? All things to keep in mind. You want to make sure that you can reach this company if there's any difficulty with the transaction. So, if you don't see a phone number, that's usually a good clue that maybe you want to take your business elsewhere. Because what good is it if you can't reach this company if there's some difficulty with what you're trying to order? Again, I can't emphasize enough, always pay with a credit card when possible. It gives you up to 1 year to dispute any charges like defective merchandise, damaged goods, wrong items received. And again, keeping your receipts, email confirmation, website pages. And again, if you do speak with someone on the phone and you're disputing at that point, make sure you're writing down the dates and times that the calls took place, as well as the name of the person you're speaking with at that company. If all else fails, you certainly can, at least residents of the United States and Canada, can file a complaint with the Better Business Bureau. And it's complaint.bbb.org, or just go to bbb.org. Find out where your local Better Business Bureau is if you maybe want to call and talk with them about your issue. But they have an online form that asks for all the necessary information. Even that form requires that you know the address and phone number of the business. So if you don't know that information, think twice about doing business with them. That's a great organization assisting many people. One of our final items to talk about tonight is PayPal. A lot of folks use it for a number of reasons. The two main ones, A, it's great for international transactions that a lot of times your banks won't allow, but B, and more importantly, if dealing with a new company, they're getting the money from PayPal, they do not have direct access to your banking information. Now, one could argue they could still bill or debit you through PayPal, but this adds some security to it. Keep in mind, PayPal itself is not perfect and has had its own share of disputes and issues, but they have improved their dispute resolution greatly in the last couple of years. They also have a new service now that you can set up. There's an option so that anytime a transaction takes place, it'll send like a message to your phone or something so you can approve it and send you a code, and then you can put that information in. So that adds a nice blanket of security in case anyone else is trying to do something or make a transaction through your account. So if you want to take that extra legwork there, you can pretty much lock your account down to make sure it's not used against your will. But again, that's great for keeping these third-party websites from seeing your bank info. Okay, let's enable live voice chat. So again, F9 will be your push-to-talk key. Again, just press F9 and state your name.
It's Mike Rigo. I got a site.
Okay, Mike, what is your site? What would you like to add to the repertoire?
Apple.com. And you can do customizations. Getting a Mac, accessibility out of the box, get all the different varieties. And they do have refurbished ones on there, too, and they are somewhat cheaper. And there you can trust the refurbish. They do check them, and you can do customization like adding memory. And of course, you can also buy from there the iPod Touch, which is accessible out of the box. And I'll tell you, the more I'm using mine, the more I'm enjoying it.
Well, good point. I'm glad you mentioned it, because I actually bought a refurbished iMac to save $200. They have refurbished items, either MacBooks or iMacs. You can save $200. You get the same warranty. So why not? And save the money.
This is Gerard Guarniero, Jerry Guarniero. I have a question about using PayPal. I've never used it. Do you have to solve a CAPTCHA in order to use PayPal to set up your account?
There is an initial CAPTCHA to get your account set up, but once you've done that, a lot of times you're buying from PayPal and you may not even know it. A lot of vendors, merchants use PayPal. And so the link they're clicking through takes your credit card information, but PayPal is the vehicle for doing so. They also have an audio for the CAPTCHA, so you can listen to that and submit that Well, of course, if you use Firefox, you still have WebVism, WebVism.com to play around with. There is an initial caption. Jerry, you want that. I mean, you're dealing with your banking information. Allowing them to turn around and access your bank account, it will play audio that you can listen to and solve the captures. This is a good blog, the BBBConsumerEducation.com. There's a lot of good consumer information available here. If that's something of interest to you, you can learn much more about it with these daily articles. It's been up for a few years. You can go back into the archives for each month and look at all the great topics. Cash for appliances, the new Cash for Clunkers program. Are you keeping up on product recalls? We talked about that last week. You know, recalls.gov is something you can go through. Make money with Google, but not so fast. You got to be careful, those make money and work at home opportunities. Bank overdraft fees, the government got involved and they said, hey, you're getting a little carried away with these $30 fees. So moderation where that is concerned, so the banks are literally making billions of dollars on that. Interested in starting your own business. So again, a wealth of great information here on this link on our show notes, or BBBConsumerEducation.com is a great resource. Number 32, BBBConsumerEducation.com. And of course, number 33, you can follow them on Twitter and get those announcements every weekday. Took you to thefrugal.com. This is a great page. So if you want, go ahead and search for something that you're interested in. Get an idea of what things cost, what maybe the retail price is, and maybe what some of the best prices. Obviously, supply and demand come into play here. And the more product there is that can't be sold, and that obviously lowers the price of the item. There's a checkbox for free shipping. So if you want to make sure that the price includes free shipping, you only see those results. Frugal is a great starting point to find out what things cost. We thank everyone for joining us this evening. Join us every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central, or 6 Pacific. That is currently 0100 UTC. By all means, join us. And of course, you can always give us ideas for shows you would like to see. That's resources@serotalk.com. So until we meet again next week, let's stay connected and stay directed.